is Jared and the GM on ESPN 102.5. The game, it is Championship Wednesday. Titans and Chiefs in the AFC title game in just a couple of days. Now, there are only two men that have the title of taking the Tennessee Titans to the AFC Championship game as general manager. Are you okay, Floyd, with sharing that title now?
Yes.
Or would you rather have it for yourself?
No, I'm thrilled.
So when John Robinson got hired as general manager of the Titans, nobody really knew who he was. I mean, you could read about it, so on and so forth, but Floyd obviously worked with him in New England, and I said, Floyd, is this guy going to be any good? And you said, oh, he'll be good, just wait. And here we are 4 years later, and the Tennessee Titans are in the AFC title game. The general manager of the Titans, John Robinson, joins us now on the show. John, congratulations so far, and thanks for joining us.
Yeah, I appreciate you guys having me on.
So let me ask you this. What is the stress level this week in your office? I know there's a lot of different things that are going on, a lot of moving parts, but the stress level and the excitement level in your office knowing that you are one game away from the Super Bowl.
Well, I'm watching one-on-one pass rush at the East-West Shrine game right now, East-West Shrine practices. So trying to find the next one, Jared, always looking for the next one.
You want to tell us which ones you like in the East-West Shrine? No, I'm kidding.
It's a little early, a little early.
When you look at Kansas City, John, we know how talented they are. We know how good they are. We know how capable they are. When you look at the firepower of that team, how do you look at your team and see where maybe you guys do match up with a team that potent?
Yeah, we've got to execute the details of the offensive and defensive calls that Arthur and Dean send in. Defensively for us, offensively for Kansas City, they've got so many explosive players over there, fast guys. It's going to be a huge test for us. And then on the defensive side of the ball, Kansas City's defense, that front is it's a pretty potent front with Jones and Clark and Suggs and those guys. So we've got to get on our blocks, we've got to stay on our blocks, hold them off when we're throwing it, move them off the ball when we're running it.
J-Rob, first of all, congratulations. I couldn't be happier for you guys. It's super.
No, I appreciate it, Floyd. As you know, it's been a long, hard road for us, and I'm just proud of the team, proud of the coaches, the players for buying into philosophically what we want to be about and then going out and executing.
At least in my mind right now, maybe the part of the team that has improved the most over the last, I don't know, 8-10 weeks is that offensive line. And when you finally got Nate in there and Taylor finally gets back, I mean, it was a work in progress, as we know. And now that team, including Nate, I mean, that group is maybe as good an offensive line as there is in the league.
Well, you're right. You know, anytime you add some new pieces in there, you know, I've said it before, and I know that's something that you believe in. It's that five together. If you've got one or two standouts, that's certainly outstanding. But those five guys, along with the tight ends, they work in unison so much. And when one is off, and if they're not on the same page, for whatever reason, maybe they hadn't played together or whatever, it just doesn't work. But you know, they've spent a lot of extra time. It's a really, really close group. They communicate well at practice. They communicate well in the game. They're always around each other, which is paramount. And they're playing good football for us right now.
When you guys sat down after the Denver game, and I know how difficult that was. I mean, everybody in the city and the franchise wanted Marcus to be the guy. And yet, in my opinion, there was a point in time where you kind of went, you know what? I think we got to make a move here. When you finally decided to make that move, which ended up being fantastic, by the way, how many sleepless nights did we go there in a row?
Yeah, those are, as you know, Floyd, those decisions, those aren't ones that are easy. It's a long, thoughtful process. There's a lot of discussions back and forth, because once you change it, you've made the change, and you know, for other positions, maybe you can kind of go back, but that was going to be a tough one, and we knew that. But at the end of the day, you know, we thought that that was what was best for the football team, and made the move.
John Robinson's with us. John, I read the stuff, you know, the PR team puts out about some of the stats that Derrick Henry has compiled and the names that are associated with some of the things he's doing, whether it's Jim Brown or Eric Dickerson or Terrell Davis, or there's all these different names, and almost all of them are in the Hall of Fame with some of these stats that Derrick Henry's been putting up. You drafted him in the second round. How surprised are you at how dominant he's been, and what has been the big change with Derrick Henry that has turned him into this Hall of Fame caliber running back for how he's performing right now?
I think he's developed a ton of confidence, really from about midseason on last year. How to run the football in the NFL, his style, and how to adjust his style as a runner a little bit. So that it marries up with what we're doing offensively, and he's been a workhorse for us, and he loves getting the football. He loves, you know, pounding up in there and then breaking free. He's a vocal leader now on our football team. Just really proud of how he's matured on the field and as a player, and then just to how he carries himself as a leader on his team.
We're looking at the draft from this year, actually the last 2 years, but particularly this year. And the only guy that is not playing and helping, I'm talking about helping you win, is the guy you have on IR. So, I mean, you hit virtually 1,000 in this draft class. Problem is you only had 5 or 6 guys. Is there any way we can get that up to like 10, 12 picks?
That would be great. I was watching. I had ESPN or something was on in the cafeteria the other day, and they were going on the current draft order. And it's great that we're not slotted yet. That's an awesome thing. But the other side, the personnel guy side of me kicked in and was like, "Hey, we're way at the back of the first round." So, I mean, once the time comes for that, we'll certainly navigate that and start to put those puzzle pieces in place, and we'll find a way to get it done somehow.
John, why is the team so dominant in the red zone right now? I mean, the New England Patriots obviously aren't slouches, and they know what they're doing, and you guys stop them on a goal line stand. Baltimore may be the best goal line offensive team in the league, and you guys stopped them on several occasions and held them in check in the red zone. Obviously, this week's going to be a tough test with Patrick Mahomes, but those teams have great defenses, Baltimore and New England too, and you're scoring touchdowns in the red zone. Why is this team such a good red zone team?
Well, I think it's something that's stressed here. It's that's the area of the field where the likelihood of scoring points or keeping the other team from scoring points is at its highest. There's a ton of emphasis put on it. The communication, the details, the execution, you know, everybody on the same page. There's a lot of confidence on both sides of the football that, you know, if we get down there offensively, that we are going to punch it in. We're going to find a way to punch it in because we're going to be, you know, we're going to be on point. And then defensively, guys are bowing their necks up, and they're just saying this is we're going to defend every blade of grass here, and that's our territory back there, and you're not getting in.
We talked about the offensive line and how much they've improved. The other side of the line of scrimmage has improved too. I think you look at those DTs and the way they're playing, and then the pass rush you're getting from these young guys, another area that you really have to be excited about.
Yeah, those guys, you know, we keep preaching, as you know, Floyd, with that position. You coached them. The technique is so important for defensive line play, hand placement, knowing how to counter, how an offensive lineman is going to set you, what technique to use, how to use that. Our coaches have done an outstanding job of working with our players. They're continuing to hone their craft daily on how to use those techniques. And I think when you start to see it pay dividends on game days, then it resonates with you as a player. It's like, wow, that's what we worked on last Wednesday. That works. Coach knows what he's talking. And the emphasis and stressing that and continually working that and them having success with it has been great for us.
How do you look, John Robinson's our guest, how do you look at the passing numbers in the first two playoff games? I mean, it didn't feel like Tannehill didn't make big throws because he made two huge throws to Anthony Firkser at New England and made huge throws, including the Raymond touchdown and the Jonnu Smith touchdown in the Baltimore game, and yet everybody keeps bringing up under 100 yards, under 100 yards. You know you're going to have to throw this week against Kansas City. How confident are you in the fact that Ryan Tannehill has had success throwing the ball this year, and how confident are you in Ryan throwing the ball when he will need to this week against Kansas City?
Yeah, first off, when I get that stat sheet Robbie and his crew brings around, I look at that. There's a line down there at the bottom, and it says points. And as long as we got more points than the other team, that's the main one that matters. But I think, you know, Ryan's done a great job throwing the ball. You know, I think our ability to run the ball, it sets up the play action game, it expands the passing game. And he's certainly shown that he's more than capable when we've got to throw the ball that he can drop back and let it rip. Games are so game plan dictated. It's situationally dictated about how you're going to play a certain situation. But you're right. I think the throw to Jonnu to get on the board early was a great throw. The throw to Khalif was a great throw. He's made some big throws for us since he's been in there.
John, I wanted to ask Mike Vrabel this question the other day, but I didn't feel like Vrabel was in the mood for it. I feel like maybe you will be,
Well played, Jared. You're a smart man. You're learning.
So how did you watch Sunday, the other AFC divisional game? Kansas City, Houston, you know you're playing whomever wins that game. Do you sit and watch it in the office or at home and kind of watch it like a fan? Are you watching TV copy? Are you watching, like, game film and waiting for that game to be over and then dissecting the game film? How do you watch a game like that when you know you're going to play the winner of that game?
Yeah, well, for me personally, I had it on in the office on one of my TVs, and I was either watching some college prospects or some unrestricted free agent prospects. I think it was college guys I was watching. And you kind of looking out of one corner of your eye, seeing kind of how it unfolds live there, but also still trying to work to improve the team by scouting and preparing for these All-Star games and a draft.
Knowing you guys, and I see these guys get on the news every night, and I hear them talk about the team, and I know how you are, J-Rob, and I know that Mike preaches that same thing, but I don't know that I've ever seen a locker room where it's every single person you're able to get to buy into that.
Yeah, it's we're blessed. We're still in the tournament by the grace of God. He's been so good to us as a football team, and we're blessed to have a locker room full of players that are coachable, that are teachable, that understand every single week what it takes to win, and the message that Vrabel and his staff gives those players on a weekly basis. They internalize it, they digest it, they believe in it, because they've seen it work for us. They've seen the weekly message when we execute it pay dividends for us by coming out victorious on Sundays or Saturdays here in the postseason. And it's just really, really, really good to see our players and how they've accepted the culture, the philosophies that we're trying to instill in them as professional athletes, and then to see them go out there and the way they carry themselves in the locker room and then go out and execute at practice and in the games has been it's been really fun to watch.
I want to go back to the 2017 draft. You guys are sitting there at 5 overall, and Patrick Mahomes is still on the board. Now, I think if everybody knew how good Patrick Mahomes was going to be, they would have traded entire draft classes in order to go get a guy as good as Patrick Mahomes. What did you – and you weren't in the market for quarterback at the time, but what did you think of Mahomes then, and what has he gotten better at now that makes him the dominant quarterback that he is today?
Well, I think that the one thing that he does well is, A, he's a phenomenal athlete. He surveys defense. He gets the ball to these playmakers. He's got a cannon for an arm. You know, I think a lot of these quarterbacks, not to speculate, but they may get lumped into because of where they played. He was at Texas Tech. It's the spread. He's going to have a hard time transitioning. But you have to sit down and talk to the player and get to know him and see what they know. And he's been able to take the system that Andy's got for him there and really make it an explosive offense for those guys. He reads coverage as well. It's tough to trick this guy. They've got the RPO game. They've got the drop back game. They've got the play action game. There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of tricks that they've got in the bag that make it hard to prepare for.
John Robinson, last question I have for you, and I said I was going to ask this question on the air earlier. The game comes down to a 45-yard kick. Greg Joseph has never kicked a field goal yet for the Titans other than extra points. The game comes down by one or two. Time, 5 seconds for a 45-yard kick at Arrowhead for the AFC Championship. How do you feel, Greg Joseph, on his first field goal to get you to the Super Bowl?
Let her rip, Tater Chip.
Hey, let me ask you one last one. What were your thoughts on – I was a little disappointed that Bud didn't get in the Hall of Fame.
Talking about Bud Adams?
Bud Adams, yeah.
Yeah, it was – you know, he was a finalist there, and, you know, he's meant obviously so much to this organization and really to professional football. And I think his time's coming. Certainly he'll be in there. He'll be in there one day.
Mm-hmm.
But we're hoping. I know he's smiling down on Miss Amy and proud of what she's done with this organization after taking over. And I hope he's dancing a little bit on Sunday. Maybe even.
He is.
John, for your sake, I hope that when you get the stat sheet on Sunday at the end of the game, that bottom corner is in your favor, that the one category you care about for the Titans as you guys take on Kansas City. We really appreciate you joining us and taking time out from the East-West Shrine practice, and we'll let you get back to that. Congratulations, and we'll see you Sunday in Arrowhead.
Appreciate you guys. God bless you.
Thanks. We'll see you this weekend.
John Robinson, Titans general manager and executive vice president, joining us there on the show. Your thoughts on J-Rob, what he said, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our reaction to John Robinson, we'll do that coming up next. Let me tell you about Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. That's right. They've got a 4.8 out of 5-star rating on over 15,000 online reviews. Why? Because scheduling an appointment with Hiller is easy. You just go to happyhiller.com. You can do it right from your phone. That's simple. Their trained technicians are experts, which means once they fix your problem, they're not coming back. That's another reason. A third reason, they have true transparency pricing, which means everything is itemized, everything is explained, and there are no special rates or hidden fees or anything of the like. That's one of the many reasons that I use Hiller at my home. That's right. Anytime there's an issue, I go right on my phone, happyhiller.com, schedule it. They're there either that day, the next day, and they're there and everything is taken care of, and I've never had to call them back for the same issue twice. That's Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. They're proud supporters of the Nashville Predators and the Tennessee Volunteers. Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Again, call the Happy Face Truck today. Jared and the GM live from the Wholesaling Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and streaming on the Game Nashville app. Jared and the GM, Titans general manager John Robinson just joined us on the show. Floyd, what was kind of your big takeaway from talking to John? I mean, I know you've been in his shoes. You've been preparing for an AFC title game while, as he said, you know, watching tape of the East-West Shrine practice college all-star game kind of thing at the same time. But you could tell how proud he was of the football team. You know? And that, I think, is why the team is so successful, is they've really internalized what they get excited about, what they get proud about, what they like, so on and so forth. That was kind of my takeaway. What was kind of your takeaway from listening to John Robinson?
I think parts of the team that we thought were improving, I think he agreed with. And I think that, you know, when you look at Derek, the combination of Derek and Ryan Tannehill, he's just like we are. You know, you're looking at it and you're saying, that's a pretty good combination there now. You know, we need to find a way to keep those guys together. And I'm sure they are.
Oh, I think they'll find a way. I wonder, as far as he's concerned in this game, if they're going to have enough speed to keep up with Kansas City. You know, I mean, because Kansas City, that's the thing that they've got that maybe the Titans don't have a ton of. And the Titans haven't really had it since Chris Johnson was here. And even then, Chris Johnson was fast, but the team was not overly fast. And this is a team in Kansas City that is fast.
Well, Yeah, I mean, we don't have enough speed to keep up with them, but neither is anybody else. You know, I mean, this team flies. I mean, you look at between Hardeman and between Hill, I mean, you know, how many guys can run with those guys? Probably nobody. And then, you know, you throw in Kelsey, who's going to run down there and just turn around and find his little spot and nestle in. And, you know, Kelsey turns it into a basketball game. That's the hard part about covering him. I mean, he starts on one side and runs completely around you. You know, the pattern is an out to the right, and he ends up behind you on the left. You're saying, how the heck did he do that? Well, he just gets out there and adjusts. And this is why Mahomes, see, a guy like a lot of players, like even Tom. Mm-hmm. Tom would struggle in this offense with a
in
guy
the Titan
like
offense?
With no in Kansas City.
Oh yeah,
with a guy like Kelsey, you know, where Kelsey's just going down there and because Tom wants it perfect, and there is nothing that's on schedule or you know drawn up correctly, executed correctly about what Kelsey does. He just goes down there and finds a spot to get open, and Mahomes, who has absolutely no problem with that, you know, has played with him enough, has a good enough feel for where he's going to be, what he's going to do, can read his body language. He knows right where to put the ball.
Well, wasn't it? I think you told me that during the preseason, Mecole Hardman was struggling with like the route trees and the concepts, and you know what Mahomes told him?
Run fast.
Just go run.
Yep.
Just go run. You run, and I'll throw it, and that makes it really hard to defend. And I think Vrabel's brought that up multiple times, is that Kelsey does things differently than any tight end in the league. To me, Kelsey's a much bigger concern than Hill. I mean, Hill is what he is, which is incredibly fast, and he will run for touchdowns. And he's done that multiple times to the Titans, including one time a couple years ago where I think he caught a toss sweep from Alex Smith, and Kevin Byard had him squared up and then fell down when Hill just ran right at him. Like, I mean, the Hill's incredibly fast. Kelsey is just such a chain mover. That's what he does, is he just moves the chains. And I definitely think that that's probably a concern for the Titans. Let's go back to your phone. 615-737-1025. Robert is in Kansas City. He's up next. Go ahead, Robert.
Hey, I'm sorry it's loud. I'm at work. But you guys are absolutely right. This is going to be the pass against the run. All right? And I'm terrified of Henry. I mean, that guy is the boss. He's Emmitt Smith, Barry Sanders, and all of them all put together. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I think you should fear Derrick Henry. He had 155 yards in a playoff win a couple years ago and 188 earlier this year in a win.
Oh, most definitely. And the second thing is, I think that the game is going to come down to pass against the run. However, it's going to be time management, and it's going to be whoever's going to give up the ball on the defense.
Robert, I hear you. I appreciate your call. I do think that whoever turns the ball over is going to have a factor in this game if it is the Titans who do the turning over. Kansas City can turn the ball over and get away with it.
They can, but it's still going to hurt them. You know, I mean, I think what it does is when you get to that last 2 minutes, instead of having to look at it and say, geez, we got to make up 14 points here. How are we going to do that? You're only looking at, hey, if we can get a TD and get a 2-point conversion, or if we can, you know, get, because of that one turnover they've had, now instead of being ahead by 14, they're ahead by 7. So now you've got a chance. So I think that's where it makes a difference.
Let's take more of your phone. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. And an interesting thought on Patrick Mahomes and what happened to Mahomes on Sunday against Houston, and why maybe that's not the best thing in the world. We'll discuss next. Jared and the GM, DSP at 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on The Game Nashville app. Hey, the pregame show. We're going to have tons of coverage all weekend long from Kansas City. Jared and the GM will be there on Friday. Jared and the GM will be there on Saturday. And Jared and the GM will be there on Sunday. Do not miss all of our pregame coverage. Guess what time we're starting, Floyd, for the AFC Championship game with our coverage right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
10 o'clock.
10 in the morning.
Yeah.
Well, that's what time Jared and the GM are. But what time are we the station starting?
Oh, I will be all day. I'm sure.
6 a.m.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
6 a.m. The kickoff from 6 to 8. Live coverage from Kansas City. Chase and TD 8 to 10. Jared and the GM 10 to noon. A special edition of Jared and the GM, and then a special edition of the pregame show at 2 o'clock on location, live from Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House in East Nashville, where we've been the last couple of weeks prior to the AFC Championship game, the Titans and the Chiefs on Sunday. The pregame show is brought to you by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com, Kubota Tractors, your Middle Tennessee Kubota dealers, Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House, and the George Jones. Also, following the game, we will have a very special post-game show with all of our post-game coverage on Nashville's Best Sports Talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game. We're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
Chiefs, if you get down 24 to this team, it's over.
It's over.
It's over.
To this team and this coach and that running back.
It is over.
Yep, I agree.
So you better, the best thing for you to do is try to get to a lead,
yep,
and make Ryan Tannehill.
I agree.
Go head to head with Mahomes, boy. Because if it's a running game versus Mahomes, you're going to lose.
Shannon Sharp says, hey, if you get down 24 points like you did to the Texans, good luck, Kansas City.
Well, I hope that's right. I mean,
you hope that they get up 24 points, or you hope that if they get up 24 points, Kansas City can't come back?
Yeah, give us a shot at being behind by being ahead by 24.
So this was an interesting thing Mike Sando wrote on The Athletic, and it was this. He says, quote, the Texans jumped to a 24-0 lead over the Chiefs, and this was not at all a comforting situation for Houston, as seasoned defensive coaches explain. He writes, defensive coaches will be less prone than fans to call the Texans choke artists for blowing such a large lead and losing. To coaches, especially defensive coaches, this was less of a choke job than a demonstration of what happens when a supremely gifted Tier 1 quarterback, backed up by an elite play caller and dynamic weaponry, has no choice but to pass on every pass play against a relatively poor defense lacking coverage players. And he continues to write that, I guess, Wade Phillips gave an interview in 2017 in which Wade Phillips offers a window into the psychology of defensive coaches. Sando writes, Phillips recalled a 1995 game in which his Buffalo Bills jumped to a 27-0 lead over the Dolphins entering the fourth quarter. The game had gone spectacularly well for Phillips Bills, but because future Hall of Fame quarterback Dan Marino was the Dolphins QB, Phillips felt a sense of unease. He knew the Dolphins would be passing on every play, and he knew what that meant. Miami scored 22 fourth quarter points. Quote, Phillips said, we got ahead of him, and that is what you really don't want to do. He threw it 64 times in the game. You talk about wringing your hands and so forth. He could throw it long. He could throw it short. He could just throw it. Maybe the most gifted quarterback we ever played against. Sando writes, Mahomes is in that category now. This season, the Chiefs were already the pass-happiest team in the NFL by several measures, including on early downs and the first 28 minutes of games before clock and score differential typically influence play calling. When a series of unusual acts conspired to give Houston such a lead, Kansas City was freed from any convention at all. Mahomes was going to throw the ball over and over and over. The theory being that if you get big up on Mahomes, he's just going to throw it. And that's bad if you're the defensive team. Floyd, do you agree with that idea that maybe you don't want to get too ahead of Mahomes in a game like this because of what that will turn Kansas City into?
No. Go ahead. Give us 24. We'll take the 24 and play the rest of the game.
So
I don't see the problem that Houston, with Houston, is they were ahead 24-0 like in a quarter.
Mm-hmm.
And they let Kansas City come back and score 28 in the next quarter. That's where they got in trouble. I mean, you would think if you just went to normal down and distance. On defense, they were playing man-for-man every snap because they didn't think they could cover, which they're like us. You know, they can't, and we can't, you know. But, I mean, the answer for that, in my opinion, is not playing man-for-man every snap. I mean, that's what this guy wants. And so, you know, then all of a sudden there, you know, you're giving up touchdowns every series and you know, you don't give yourself a chance.
Well, I think what happened to the Texans too is it's 24-0 And you can argue about Bill O'Brien going for it, not going for it. I would have gone for it if I was Bill O'Brien. And I think Bill O'Brien should have gone for it. The numbers say kick it there to go up four scores. I just felt like 28-0 would have been a dagger. Now, as the game played out, it wouldn't have been. But it felt like 28-0 would have been a dagger. But Kansas City, or I shouldn't say Kansas City, Houston screwed up. They let them return the kickoff deep. Then they fake the punt. Then they fumble the kickoff. Now, that's how Kansas City got back in the game. If Kansas City has to start at the 25 on all of those drives, you think they score 7 touchdowns in a row? You think they're scoring in 2 plays if they have to start on their own 25 every single drive down 24-0? You really think they're moving it right down the field? What happened to me was Mahomes tried to fire him up on the sidelines down 24-0. That, hey, we're still in it. Get the touchdown. Let's go. They score the touchdown, which they're going to score touchdowns, and they're going to score touchdowns against you on Sunday. Now, you hope it's not 7 in a row, but they're going to score touchdowns. So Mahomes takes him down there and scores. Then Bill O'Brien, like an idiot, fakes that punt, and all of a sudden, now Kansas City sees the path. Now they see the path. Because 24-7 with that offense is not that big of a deal, knowing that you're going to score another touchdown. Now all of a sudden, it's going to be 24-14. I mean, they could score 10 points. So they see the path after the fake field goal, and Houston sees the path too. And once Houston saw the path and Kansas City saw the path, it was almost like at the same time that Kansas City was getting charged up momentum-wise, Houston was incredibly deflated. And then they fumbled the ensuing kick. I mean, you're not going to win games. I mean, if you go there and fumble kickoffs and fake punts, you're going to win.
But the great part about Kansas City was all of the – I mean, it just reversed itself. You know, they got a – what was it? A blocked punt and –
A blocked punt and a fumble punt.
And a fumble punt. That's it.
Hill fumbled.
Right. So, you know, you're getting two, and you've got tremendous field position on both of those. And you're scoring touchdowns, you know. So you feel like you're in great shape. But what happens to Kansas City? They come right and do the same thing. And, you know, now you've got no chance.
And whatever Kansas City gives you in this game, which I do think Kansas City will give you something. I was worried, and you thought Lamar Jackson was going to give the Titans opportunities on Saturday. And I wasn't sure Lamar was going to do that. And Lamar gave you opportunities with the fumble and the 2 interceptions and whatnot. Kansas City, they're going to give you opportunities. If there's anything we've learned about playing the Chiefs over the last couple of years, it's the Chiefs will screw some things up now. Now, they're good enough and they're talented enough to overcome it. But Kansas City has, at least against the Titans, given you some opportunities. What you can't do is you can't then give them the opportunity right back.
They just flashed some numbers up on the screen talking about the Kansas City playoffs. They have scored more points, given up less. They've scored like, these aren't the right numbers, but I'm just throwing numbers. Scored like 30, but and only given up like 20. Kansas City's quarterback has higher passer rating, higher yards per attempt, and their record is 3-5, which leads you to believe that, like you said, I mean, for whatever reason, they get deep into these playoffs and they may squeeze that club a little bit tighter. They may squeeze that stick a little bit tighter, and maybe that makes a difference.
Oh, I think that is Andy Reid's MO. And in this game, it really plays a factor based upon what happened to them in the AFC Championship game last year. Like, they had to kick themselves for how they lost that AFC Championship game. D Ford jumps off sides on a Tom Brady interception. I mean, that game, Brady was so locked in. How many opportunities are you going to get like that? You know, against a Tom Brady who is on the money, you know, and you're not going to get many opportunities like that. And so D Ford jumps off sides, and that costs you a trip to the Super Bowl. So they know they blew their opportunity last year. If they start to feel like they're blowing their opportunity this year, that may change everything in this game. I mean, the truth is, all the pressure's on Kansas City this week. There is no pressure on the Tennessee Titans.
We're playing with house money.
Oh, total house money. You could get blown out in this game, and I'd walk away saying, what a great season for the Titans. And so, to me, I think that plays a factor into your point that Kansas City outscores all these teams by so much and scores all these points and everything else in the playoffs, and yet they're 3-5. The other thought process I have behind that is when Kansas City loses games in the playoffs, they lose close. When they win in the playoffs, they win big. So in the three wins that they've had under Andy Reid, they've been the big wins. When they lose, they lost by a point to the Titans. They lost by 6 points last year to New England. Like, they lose little. Other than that, they lose little. But when they win, it was like when they blew out the Texans the time in Houston when J.J. Watt went in to go play quarterback for some God knows why reason in that game that Bill O'Brien thought that was a good idea. They run J.J. Watt out there to go play quarterback. They lost that game 30-0, and then they blew out the Texans right here, and I'm trying to figure out what their other – they must have had another win in there somewhere. Who did they beat last year in the playoffs? They crushed Indianapolis. So their three wins are all blowout wins, and their losses are all close. So maybe that tells us that if the Titans are going to win, they're going to have to win close, which, no offense – kind of already
Fine.
Knew that.
Yeah,
you know,
I
kind of already knew that. But I do wonder, if you get up too much against Mahomes, then what does that mean for Mahomes? And is that a bad thing with your secondary? The other thing, correct me if I'm wrong, if you're up 24-0 and you know they're going to throw every play and you know you can't cover them man for man, why are you covering them man for man?
I have no clue.
I mean, wouldn't it be smart to play a soft zone, let them complete passes, and tackle them, and let
the announcer kept
saying,
oh, they're playing man for man because they know they have to play man for man. And I'm thinking to myself, why do you have to play man for man?
Up 24.
And so, and especially with their second. Now, if I'm Baltimore, or if I'm, you know, New England, or if I maybe you do, but not them, not us. I mean, it's the same deal we just talked about. You know, we're going to let Kelce.
He's going to catch it.
He's going to have, you know, 8 or 10 catches. And as long as it's 8 or 10 catches for 70 yards, that's fine. You know, we can put up with that. But we don't need 2 or 3 90-yarder, you know, pass plays.
To the calls next, 615-737-1025. We're right to him, 615-737-1025. Jared and the GM. Preds fans, do not miss Smashville Live tonight. We'll be in Bellevue at Brew House 100, located at 8098 Highway 100. The show starts at 7 o'clock. This week's guest is country music legend Vince Gill. A limited number of autographs or pictures will be available, so get there early to Brew House South to meet Vince Gill. Tonight's Smashville Live is brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka, Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, Yeehaw Brewing Company, and Red Spirits and Wine. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.
You know, I think that that's a confident football team. I mean, they had won 7 in a row. They're fully aware of their explosiveness and what they can do. You know, I'd like to think that we're playing with a lot of confidence, too. You know, I think that when you can run the football against the Baltimore Ravens, New England Patriots, take care of the football. You know, those are, and I want our players to play with confidence too. You know, there's a lot of ways that these games unfold. You know, I've learned from great coaches that you have to have a game plan, but you also can't predict the way that the game's going to unfold. However it unfolds, you have to start coaching that way and then make adjustments.
Who knows how this one will unfold? Mike Vrabel, injury report is out. Logan Ryan sick, did not practice today. Not really all that worried about him. Jayon Brown, Rashawn Evans, Adam Humphries, Adoree Jackson, David Long Jr., all limited on the injury report. For the Chiefs, LeSean McCoy and Matt Moore did not practice. They're sick. Chris Jones did not practice with a calf injury. And the Jones injury is the one to really watch. Travis Kelce was limited with a knee, although they were talking during the game that Travis Kelce had a hamstring, but he's listed as a knee. And he was limited today, as he was limited all 3 days last week. And then the rest of their guys, most of whom don't even matter, all were full participants on their schedule. Cody Hollister was full participant for the Titans, as if anybody cared about that. Let's go to the phones, Floyd, unless you have a thought.
No.
Phones we go. Let's go to Mike, who's up next on Jared and the GM. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Go ahead.
I just wanted to mention the fact about our defense bending but not breaking the last two games, and the fact that we only allowed Brady to score 12 points and Lamar 13, and we let them go on long drives, and they got a lot of yards, but we, at the end of the day, they kicked field goals and didn't score points on us, and I think that's what helped us win the games. So,
thanks for the
I'll
call.
Hang up and listen.
I think keeping Kansas City to field goals is going to be a key. The problem is you got Baltimore out of their game plan, and New England's offense, I mean, is historically bad for New England standards. You can't get Kansas City out of their game plan, can you?
I don't think so. That's the difficult part, because their game plan really doesn't change. It's not like there's an alternative. You know, what are they going to do? You know, they can say we're going to line up and run the ball, but, you know, they're not going to do that real effectively. They may do it, but they're, I mean, they're throwing every snap. That's, they're just, you know, you hear about, and Andy's always wanted an offense like this, you know, and he tried to get it with other quarterbacks, couldn't quite get there. I mean, he was successful to a certain extent.
You're telling me Nick Foles can't do this?
But I think they're, you know, this is one of the, that's their identity, and they're not going to change. And I don't blame them. How many games have they won the last couple of years? You know, they're winning 14, 13, 14 games every year. So
the one thing I do wonder about is a lot of people say, well, who's going to match up with Kelce, or what are they going to do with Kelce? I'm not so much worried about Kelce as much as I'm worried about Kelce in the red zone. Like, if somebody can check Kelce in the red zone and can hit him and can be physical with him and can basically keep him from catching touchdowns, I'll take my chances with the fast guys running into the end zone and them trying to throw to them when they're inside the red zone, because Tyreek Hill can only go so far.
Yeah, that the hard part down here for us in particular down the red zone is if they continue to throw it, you know, a guy like Kelce, and we saw this weekend, you know, for whatever reason, which is, it's not uncommon. If a team plays man for man a lot, when they get down inside the 20, they'll change and play zone. And the opposite of that is true a lot of times, too. And I've never figured it out, but
even though
at
you
least
coached it
used to be. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the way everybody is. And I think Kansas City, I mean, I think Houston did that a little bit against Kansas City because, you know, Kelce ran down there, just turned around, found a spot, zing, here it comes, touchdown. And if we play zone, that's, we're going to see kind of the same thing. That being said, I think I read or heard a stat today that in the red zone, the Titans have given up 20 touchdown passes. 17 of those were against man for man.
Go zone.
So now, and if you're zone, I mean, he's going to find somebody open. I mean, you know, you're going to have a tip ball. You're going to have to get a sack. You're going to have to do something to help you, because this quarterback's just too good. I mean, those guys are going to go down there and play basketball, and he's going to put it on them.
Let's go to Evan, who's up next on David Long Jr. Go ahead, Evan.
Hey, guys. Yeah, you know, we've got so many bodies in the secondary that we can throw out there and rotate in, and I was impressed with the job that David Long did on Mark Andrews. Obviously, Kelce is in a different tier of tight end than Mark Andrews, but he was a weapon for the Ravens offense. That he got yards here or there, but was ineffective insofar as that game goes. And listening to you guys talk, I want to bring up one other point. If you think the Titans get up 24-0 and they give Kansas City the ball four times in a quarter to go and score four touchdowns, you're crazy. If they get up 6 points, they are letting the big dog eat. They are chewing up that clock. They are riding the horse they brought with them, and they are going to obviously get that victory.
Well, that's certainly what you're hoping. And I agree with you. I think that's what we should expect. That's what, and I think, you know, if we're up like that, I mean, and we're going to let, I'm sure they'll let the big dog eat. And, I mean, you're going to get something out of those drives. You know, you're going to get field goals and touchdowns in addition to, I mean, I think Houston only scored one more time, and it was like in the second half. You know, after Kansas City already, you know, was up by 40. So I think we would be able to keep from that app. You know, that wouldn't happen to us, I don't think.
Didn't Mark Andrews get hurt? Like, I thought Mark Andrews was ineffective because Mark Andrews was hurt the whole time, not because David Long Jr. played great defense. Not that I'm taking anything away from David Long.
Yeah, David Long played pretty good, though.
Oh, he played great.
Yeah.
By the way, you know what I didn't know until I saw it during one of the commercials on Saturday night? The fumble that Rashawn Evans picked up and ran into the end zone against the Chiefs that totally changed that game.
Yeah.
David Long forced it.
Huh.
I did not know that, but I was watching and it was like, this Microsoft Surface play of excellence this year was against the Kansas City Chiefs when David Long Jr. stripped so-and-so and Rashawn Evans ran 68 yards for a touchdown. This is the play presented by Microsoft Surface. And I was like, David Long did that? And I'm thinking to myself, how did I not know that? We talked about that game for 4 hours the next day. How did we not know that David Long did that? So, I don't know. For whatever reason. Carl, you're up next on Jared and the GM. Go ahead, Carl.
What's up, fellas? Look, man, I just got off work, so I just called. I don't know if y'all have already talked about this or not, but did y'all say Adam Humphries might play this weekend?
He was a limited participant today in practice.
Okay, so there's that. Look, man, look, I got a hundy bet on the Titans to win outright, okay? That's how confident I am in this. And look,
gracious.
What I did catch while ago just now is you hit the nail right on the head, Jarrett. We have got to stop Kelce in the red zone. That, look, all the touchdowns, four of their, or might have been five, of their touchdowns that they scored against Houston was to Kelce in the red zone, man. If we can stop him in the red zone, I mean, the only other time anybody else gets a touchdown on that team, it's a bomb play or a big play. If we can shut Kelce down, it's look, the only way we won the game, the playoff game 2 years ago, was we was getting killed until Cyprian knocked Kelce out of the game. Okay? And as soon as he knocked Kelce out of the game, I mean, it was like they lost their mojo. And we come back and won it. I mean, and there's no way nobody
so
can tell
what,
me no,
so,
no.
So what's the point you're trying to make here, Carl?
Is
you want them to knock Travis Kelce out of the game?
No, I don't want them. I don't want nobody to
that's
get
where
hurt.
That's where it sounds like you're going with this now.
I was all I mean, for it.
Thank you, Carl.
All right, thank you, guys.
Thank you, Carl. Let me say this. As I have told this story many a times on the air, when they played that playoff game and Cyprian hit Kelce, and Kelce was killing the Titans, and it was right before the half and Cyprian hit Kelce, and I saw Kelce stand up, and as he stood up, he wobbled and fell down. I got out of my chair and said, concussion protocol, send him, he's done, see ya. Like, get him out of here, check that head, take him out.
And the crazy part about these games, that could literally happen to anybody, any snap. You know? I mean, so who knows?
I mean, theoretically speaking, Patrick Mahomes could get hurt. And I believe that would change the game a little bit. I mean, I think that would play a role. But at the same time, you can't root for injuries. It's just you just can't do it. Plus, do you really want to beat, I mean, not
yes.
that I have any problem.
Yes.
Not that I have any problem with beating the Chiefs if Mahomes doesn't play. But do you really want to have, I mean, I'm
yes.
just saying.
Anyway, we can beat them. I don't care. Anyway.
I mean, I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. 615-737-1025. Chris Sanders today said he thinks A.J. Brown is going to have a big game. But coming up next, boy, Floyd is worried about A.J. Brown. We'll get to that. Plus, what does all of Derrick Henry's success mean for Derrick Henry beyond this year? We'll hit that one next. Jared and the GM, it's ESPN 102.5 The Game, and we're streaming on the Game Nashville app.